محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء هو العبادة وفي حديث آخر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس شيء أكرم على الله من الدعاء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he tells us about something very important. And I want to speak about this because as the new year starts, everybody is thinking about what is going to be different in their lives. And when we try to look at what should be in our life, we prioritize based on what is the most important to what is the least significant. And so we see everybody look at their holistic life and say, okay, this is what I'm going to be focusing on most. Even in our deen, mashallah, our deen addresses every aspect of our life. But certain aspects of our deen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized them so much that you realize that, subhanAllah, this is all that's there. You see, for instance, when you go for Hajj, it's a very important farida that every single believer is supposed to fulfill. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about Hajj, he said, "Al-Arafah," right? Hi al-Hajj. That Arafah is Hajj. Showing us that the significance of Arafah is so much that it is Hajj. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a statement about something else, and that is dua. He says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." That ibadah, "Wama khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have no purpose, none of us have any purpose but for His ibadah. The ins and the jinn are created for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in being created for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us what is ibadah. And he tells us a dua, that supplication, asking Allah, talking to Allah, begging Allah, that is ibadah. So it tells us the importance of this fact. And it's very important for us to realize because unfortunately, we lose track of what are the priorities in our life. And I want to make sure that we bring this back to its original essence, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving it this much importance that we give it this importance as well. And so for two main reasons why I chose this topic. Number one, is that because this should be our New Year resolution, that how can I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better? How can I be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can this one very simple technique, one very simple action that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about, how can I bring this in my life and let it change every aspect of my life? And I will let you know how it will change. The second reason is that, you see, the Muslim Ummah has been going through a turmoil. Seeing our brothers, our sisters, seeing them in the pains and seeing them in the torture. And we are making dua, and sometimes it seems like, where is it going? And sometimes a person may start to doubt and think that, is my dua even taking place? And slowly, we stop. You guys may experience that in the beginning when the situation in Gaza got bad, everybody's making dua and everybody's turning to Allah and we're having qunut in the masjid. And as time goes on and on and on, and we just slowly stop. And so the purpose of the khutbah again also is to come back to our yaqeen on dua and to realize that this is the most important equipment, whatever you want to call it, the most important thing that we have, that we hold. And just because we are not seeing apparent results of it does not mean that we should abandon it. It still means that we should keep it. We should still act upon it. We should still ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Right? وَأَنْتُمْ مُقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ That you guys are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Udu Allah, call Allah, وَأَنْتُمْ مُقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ You have this firm conviction, this faith, that yes, most definitely my dua is being answered. Yes, most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing me. Yes, it's not just going to waste. Right? So this is something that we must realize that holds extremely a lot of significance. And we will realize not only to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even when we examine the Quran and when we examine the lives of all of the Anbiya, this is the one thing that we see a common theme throughout the Quran. From Adam alayhi salam, when Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, when they're told to leave Jannah and be in the world, what are they doing? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ It's making dua. Nuh alayhi salam making dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam making dua. Musa alayhi salam making dua. Every single prophet that came, the one thing that we see is that they never gave up their faith in dua. They always stood and they knew that this was something that we could not abandon. And subhanAllah, when you look in hindsight, when you look back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was waiting for the right time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped every one of them or no? When you look at all of these prophets, can we say today that they were successful or no? Can we say today that their enemies were destroyed or no? Yes, their du'as were answered. Their enemies were eradicated. But it took time. It took time and it was the right time. And once it came, it was done. We see today that yes, that was the case, but at that time, when the person is going through the pain, when the person is going through that agony and that temporary stage, they think that, wow, this is never going to end. When is the help of Allah? Mata Nasrullah? When is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we are rushing it. We are rushing it. But that is our fault. That is our weakness, that we are trying to rush. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, just wait. That's why Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah, he says in his poetry very beautifully, أَتَهْزَوْ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَتَزْدَرِيهِ Do you look down upon dua? Almost like you're looking, you're making fun of it. أَتَهْزَوْ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَتَزْدَرِيهِ وَمَا تَدْرِي بِمَا سَنَعَ الدُّعَاءُ
And what do you know that what has dua actually achieved? What has dua actually made? Sihamu layli. It is the arrow of the night. Sihamu layli la tukhti. It does not go wrong. Walakin laha amadu walil amadin qida'u. But it has its right timing. It's right timing and it hits the precise place. That is what dua is. Unfortunately today, the ummah, we live in a materialistic world. And so we continuously see the power of material. We see the power of military. We see the power of money. We see the power of intellect. We see the power of planning. All of these things are asbab. And by no means am I saying that we should reduce our efforts in asbab. But the one thing that we have that other people do not have is our yaqeen on Allah and knowing that this siham that we have, this arrow that we have, this saham that we have, la tukhti, it does not go wrong. It just has its timing. And when the right time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us. And for that, all we have to do is just go back. Go back to our history. And we will see that every time the arrow hit the mark right on the dot. It was just a matter of time. So today I want everybody to gain confidence back. To gain confidence in their relationship with Allah. To gain confidence that yes, Allah is listening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sami'. He's the one who hears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir. He's the one who is informed. He knows about what situation we are in. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, a dua of a believer never goes to waste. Never goes to waste. When you make dua, one of the three things will happen. Your dua will either be accepted right away, or there was some type of calamity or some type of difficulty that was coming your way. But because of your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that from you. And the third is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it right away, or accept it at a time when it's good for you, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not remove something that was hitting your way, it's going to be given to you in the hereafter. And wallahi, in the hereafter, everybody's going to wish that, Ya Allah, I wish none of my du'as were accepted so that today I could have gotten what I'm getting. That's what we are going to be wishing for. So don't ever think, even for a single moment, that your du'a has gone to waste. In fact, a du'a is something that must be part of every single step of your life. And it does not matter how bad it gets. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. And know how to make dua. When you look at the dua of the prophets, when you look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you realize that it was not the same dua that you and I make today. The dua that you and I make today is, Ya Allah, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, done. That's not the dua that they made. The dua that they made was that they rose their hands and they glorified Allah. And they said, Ya Arham al-Rahimeen, Ya Akram al-Akrameen, Ya Dha Quwwat al-Mateen, Ya Rahim al-Masakeen. And they're praising Allah, praising Allah, praising Allah. And at the end, they would make one small request. And the request would be related to, Ya Allah, you just give me your mercy. Not just small things. Ya Allah, I want $3.5 million by the middle of this month. These were not the type of du'as. Praise Allah and ask for something greater. And the greater you could ask for what is the hereafter. Yes, you could ask for dunyawi needs as well. Your worldly needs as well. Ask as much as you can. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he told the Sahaba, he said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you guys can. Right? And one of the companions, he said, أَوَنَسْتَكْفِرْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Should we like keep asking for more and more? He said, yes, وَهُوَ الْأَكْثَرْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even more. This shows us the difference between asking insan and asking the Khaliq. asking makhluq and asking the Khaliq. When you ask a person in this world, you go to him once and you ask him, if you're lucky, he might say, okay. You go to him the second time and he's going to be like, didn't I just help you yesterday? You go to him again and he's going to be like, get out of here. And the fourth time, he definitely labeled you as a majnoon, as a crazy person in his book. And so he won't even, he won't even entertain you. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you go, the happier he gets. The more you beg, the more he showers. That is the difference that we should understand. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one hadith it comes, Hayyun Kareem. Hayyun, he has so much haya that he cannot have you go empty-handed. See, somebody might come your way and somebody might tell you, hey, give me some money, and you feel embarrassed a little bit to let this guy, he's asking for a dollar, and you might, that little bit of haya. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the utmost level of haya that does not matter what you ask him. He feels that haya, he feels that, that reluctance, that embarrassment, that he can let you go just empty-handed. So he won't let you go empty-handed. He will definitely give you something. He'll say, okay, here, take this. So this is the approach that we should go to dua with. The first thing is, وَأَنْتُمْ مُقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ, to know that what I have this firm faith, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to me. You cannot just make dua, okay, let me throw 100 arrows and one will hit. No, if you're going to ask Allah, you should ask knowing that this dua of yours is definitely accepted. You should have this faith. The second thing you should have is to know that doesn't matter how many times you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give to you. And the third thing is, keep asking for the smallest to the biggest thing. Don't be just stingy in the dua. Don't just say, Ya Allah, just forgive me and nobody else. No, ask dua for everyone. Ask dua for the whole entire ummah. This is who we are. We are one ummah, one body. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if one part of the body is aching, the whole entire body is aching. And so as one ummah, we come together and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single need of ours. You have resolutions in this world. New Year resolution. Yes, you might go and sign up for the gym and you might do this, you might do that. Okay, first of all, write those resolutions and make dua for each one of them. After you make dua for each one of them, then tell yourself, what are those things that you're going to be making dua for on a daily basis? And the third thing I want you guys to understand is, how do we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we just ask Him, Ya Allah, give me, give me, give me, give me? Or do we learn the etiquettes of dua? The etiquettes of dua, the first thing is that you humble yourself. You glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You empty out to Allah. First you bring about, Ya Allah, I am no one to be asking. I should be the last person over here at your door. These are all my sins, Ya Allah. But I'm asking you because you're the greatest. You are the forgiver. You are the giver. You are this. And you keep going and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you send one salah upon the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 10 upon you. And that is mercy coming your way. You think if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending mercy your way, He will not accept your dua. And that, after that, you start to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not saying to Allah, Ya Allah, you've done this to me and you've done this to me. Rabbi anni massani dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. When Ayyub alayhi salam was in the most difficult stage of his life, such difficulty that his body parts were decaying little by little, his people kicked him out, his children, they left him, and he had nobody at this point. When his wife went out to go and work for people to get some money, Ayyub alayhi salam is like, what have I come to? And when he's in this difficult situation, when his wife asked him, why don't you make dua? Why don't you make dua? What is his answer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me in afiyah, kept me in ease for 80 years. And now just a small little calamity comes on me. And subhanallah, you look at it today, it's not a small calamity. A person whose body is decaying, who's kicked out by the people, who has no means now to get where he's getting his sustenance. I mean, it's just kids left him. If you look at it today, you'll be like, wow, that is desperation. That is devastation. But over there, look at Ayyub alayhi salam's etiquette of dua. What is he saying? He's not saying, Ya Allah, anta amrattani. Ya Allah, you made me sick. Ya Allah, you're making me go through this. Yes, Ya Allah, some bad has come upon me. Ya Allah, some grief has afflicted me. Massani yadur. Ya Allah, some grief, some bad has afflicted me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you are the most merciful. This is how he is asking. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's making the dua, إِذَا مَرِثْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I am sick, Allah is the one who's giving the cure. He's not saying that, oh, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make me sick, then you get... No. He's putting the fault, the difficulty, the calamity, making that return to himself or to something else, but not saying, Ya Allah, you did this and you did that to me. Similarly, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, when he was returning back from Ta'if, and this is such a difficult position that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in right now. How is he? He is, subhanallah, the one person who protected him, stood with him, was his uncle, just passed away. The person who he found comfort in was his wife, just passed away. The Quraysh all got together to plan against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered him to go and give this risala, this message of Islam. Nobody's accepting. He's giving da'wah for years and years and years. And he goes to Ta'if. And the people not just start to kick him out, but start to throw stones at him. And at this point, any of us would sit down and start complaining. But what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati. Ya Allah, I'm complaining to you of my weakness. Not blaming Allah. Not saying, Ya Allah, why this and why that? Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati. I'm complaining to you, Ya Allah, of my weakness. That is the etiquette of dua. So we learn from all of these that this is something we should not look down upon. You know, last story I will mention, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, a great scholar, one of the four fuqaha whose madhab is still alive today. He was a great scholar even in his time. People always wanted to meet him, everything. One day, he went all the way to Sham from Baghdad. And he's over there in the masjid. The muadzin comes, he tells him, he said, we have to lock up the masjid, you have to get out. And he doesn't know who Imam Ahmad is. Otherwise, he would have honored him. He didn't know. So he basically tells him, you have to get out, and basically pulls him out of the masjid. There's a person, a baker, he's seeing all of this from far. And he sees all of this, and he comes, and he's like, I saw that you got taken out of the masjid. I have a bakery. I'm making some bread. You can stay here tonight if you wish. He takes Imam Ahmad to his bakery. Now, the baker is making bread, and as he's making the bread with every single minute of his, he's saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Imam Ahmad asks him, he said, Subhanallah, how long have you been doing this for? He said, for as long as I could remember. He said, do you see something different, something special because of the zikr that you're doing all your life? He said, yes. He said, what is that? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted every single dua of mine because of this. Every single dua of mine, except one. And that dua is, I asked Allah, Ya Allah, you allow me to meet Imam Ahmad one day. And Imam Ahmad started to have tears in his eyes. He said, قَدْ جَاءَكَ بِأَحْمَدٍ. Allah has come to you with Ahmad. Allah has dragged Imam Ahmad from Baghdad, brought him to Sham, kicked him out of the masjid, made you see it, made you come right to your feet. So the last point that I want to make is that if we, our life is rectified, then you will see how your dua will get accepted. If your rizq is halal, if you are getting halal rizq, you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're in the service of other people, and you're always doing that. Wallahi, I tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most certainly accept your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the importance of dua and allow us to really take the benefit from this action that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized so much. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il al-muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafuru al-rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يقول الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواه وتمنى على الله عباد الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان اللهم دمر أعداء الدين اللهم أعز الإسلام اللهم أعز المسلمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأتم وأكبر وأقم الصلاة